Stocks advance, two words, blowout earnings for the banks. It's the Business News Hour for Wednesday, the 16th of January, and coming to you from beautiful and sunny Mobile, Alabama. In other business news from today, Sears stores will remain open, what's left of them. This week, Netflix boosted their prices. You complained, but then, yeah, you went back to binge watching. Word up, they're going to continue to do that to you. The number is 29. More to the point, 29%. We'll tell you why that matters. Ford Motor Company sees some dark days ahead, and in case you've run out of things to worry about, the housing market in the United States is looking shaky. Meanwhile, closer to Des Moines, Meredith Chief Steve Lacey will retire in March. Those stories, the Wall Street Report, and our small business spotlight today shines on Rob Beers and the Quill and Nib in the historic Valley Junction. But first, let's get to the news.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AURION.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tero International, your elite training team at TERO.com. RE/MAX Concepts, realestateconcepts.net. The Business News is next.
How are organizations investing in their future? Many are choosing to invest in their people in the same way they invest in new equipment, facilities, and IT systems. That is one of the wisest investments you can make. How do you determine training needs? Turn to the award-winning professionals at Tero International for a complimentary needs assessment and gap analysis. Visit Tero.com, that's T-E-R-O.com, to learn more. This is Ro from the Tero team.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources and more for businesses and nonprofits. AURION.com. RE/MAX Concepts, real estate professionals with offices in the Des Moines Metro, Nevada, and Cedar Rapids. Realestateconcepts.net.
Hey, welcome back to the Wednesday edition of the Business News Hour. I'm your host, Michael Libby. You want to reach out to us? You can do that on Twitter. We are at IOB_NewsHour. Me personally, you can find me at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled L-I-B-B-I-E. Well, stocks advanced today on the backs of bank earnings that were sky high. Goldman Sachs posted blowout quarterly earnings, sending the stock up by 5.3%. Bank of America also rose 5.6% after reporting a record quarterly profit. The reports follow the releases of fourth quarter results from Citigroup, JP Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo earlier this week. Morgan Stanley, another major bank, is scheduled to report tomorrow. United Continental surged by more than 6% after the company posted better than expected earnings yesterday. Delta Airlines and American Airlines also rose by at least 2% each today. More than 6% of S&P 500 companies have reported calendar fourth quarter earnings, according to FactSet. Of those companies, 85.3% have reported better than expected earnings. The Dow today was up by over 141 points, the NASDAQ gained 10, and the S&P 500 was up by 5 points. We'll have all the numbers later in the newscast. Well, it looks as if Sears is out of the woods for now. The company's chairman and largest shareholder, Eddie Lambert, won a bankruptcy auction today, averting liquidation of the iconic brand. That, according to sources who are familiar with the matter, but did not wish to comment publicly. Lambert was the only one to put forth a proposal to rescue the company in its entirety. He had sweetened his bid multiple times to more than $5 billion over the past few days through an affiliate of his hedge fund, ESL. Details of the final terms are not, at this hour, known. Lambert, who steered the company into bankruptcy protection, may be able to keep the roughly 400 remaining Sears stores open, which would mean tens of thousands of jobs are saved, at least for now. All right, we get it. You were upset this week when Netflix raised their fees by 13 to 18%, by the way, meaning the most popular plan will now cost about $156 a year. But then after a bit, you went back to binge-watching. You should be ready to continue to see rate increases. Why? Well, the streaming giant has made big bets on lots of original programming to set itself apart from its competitors. The company's stock price soared almost $22 to nearly $355 a share, reflecting Wall Street's belief the higher rates will not upset consumers, at least not for a long period of time. From TV shows like Stranger Things and Orange is the New Black to movies like Bird Box, Netflix has been churning out hit after hit. While all that original content draws in new subscribers, it also costs a bunch of money to produce. Its most expensive monthly plan now costs $16, compared with $12 for Hulu, $9 for Amazon Prime Video, and $10 for CBS All Access. But the bottom line here is, as long as the company keeps churning out hits, you're going to keep buying. At least that's what Netflix is betting on. Well, just this week, we reported that the most recent American Express study on state support of women-owned businesses in Iowa, that the state had ranked 52nd in the nation, and now it is number 8 in the nation. That's a pretty sizable jump. Well, it would seem that Citigroup could learn a thing or two from the Hawkeye State. Today, Citigroup said that globally, women at the big bank earn roughly 29% less than their male counterparts. The disclosed pay gap between men and women at Citigroup measures the difference in median total compensation without accounting for factors such as job function level and geography. As such, the results tend to suggest the bank doesn't have as many women in positions of responsibility or the corporate suite that tend to offer higher levels of compensation. So less women, the pay's not going to be equal, so you get it, right? The company said last year, when accounting for job function, level, and geography, women are paid on average 99% of what men are paid, and minorities are paid on average 99% of what non-minorities are paid. That is, at least, what they said. Today, Ford said they're looking at some dark days ahead, and the company's stock? It plummeted. So what's going on? Ford said that tariff costs and uncertainty over Britain's exit from the European Union will throttle back their fourth quarter earnings. That admission is in contrast to Ford's larger U.S. rival, General Motors, which last week forecast higher 2019 profit that far surpassed analyst estimates. So why Brexit? Well, Ford is the top-selling automotive brand in Britain, and a no-deal British exit from the European Union would unlikely be, well, it would be catastrophic. Ford also expects tariffs imposed by the United States and China and the impact of higher costs for steel and aluminum to hurt profits by about $700 million this year. See how much we're connected? Last week, by the way, Ford said it would cut thousands of jobs and look at plant closures in Europe as part of its plan to return to a 6% operating margin in that region. Well, home sales in the United States slumped in December while prices inched up slightly, marking the smallest annual increase since the end of the last housing crash in 2012. That, according to data from brokerage firm Redfin. The median home price rose to $289,000 in December. That's a gain of 1.2%, but the slowest monthly pace since March of 2012. Sales dropped by almost 11%. That's the biggest decline for any month since 2016. Previously, hot metropolitan areas are cooling off fast. Prices, for example, in San Jose, California, dropped by 7.3%. The big question the report doesn't answer is whether a recent drop in mortgage rates will fuel a rebound in sales. Redfin's data, which covers many large metropolitan areas, represents closed sales. Now, buyers likely signed contracts in November for most December sales, while rates for 30-year mortgages peaked at 4.94% in November, climbing a percentage point at the start of 2018. They have since fallen to 4.45%, which may mean that more contracts have been entered into. We'll have to wait for the January sales figures. Well, closer to home, Steve Lacy, the former CEO and current executive chairman of Meredith, will retire in March. Lacy, who stepped down as CEO about a year ago, will remain chairman of the board in a non-executive capacity. That means he doesn't have to necessarily show up for work. He's going to retire from active work just after his 65th birthday. That's a tradition at Meredith's long-standing succession plans. Well, on Wall Street, the banks had a big day today. Stocks ended higher as traders cheered strong quarterly earnings from major banks like Goldman Sachs and Bank of America. The Dow gained 141 points in change as Goldman Sachs outperformed. The S&P 500 gained 0.2%, led by a 2.2% gain in financials. The NASDAQ, meanwhile, climbed by just a little more than 0.1%. Goldman Sachs posted blowout quarterly earnings, sending the stock up by 9.5%, its biggest one-day gain since 2009. Bank of America also rose 7% after reporting a record quarterly profit. The reports follow the releases of fourth-quarter results from, as we said earlier, Citigroup, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo. Morgan Stanley, another major bank, is scheduled to report tomorrow. Today's moves follow solid gains in the previous session. The Dow closed more than 100 points higher yesterday as tech shares outperformed. At the bell, the Dow was up those 141 points to close at 24,207. The NASDAQ gained a stingy 10 points to close at 7034. And the S&P 500 posted a gain of 5 points to end the day at 2616. Gold gained $5 an ounce, even in light of equities moving higher, and traded today at $1,293.40 an ounce. Crude oil was up by a quarter to end the day at $52.36 a barrel. And the 10-year T-note gained again, paying 2.72%. Hey, when we come back, we're going to offer you a small business spotlight. And in that spotlight is Rob Beers, who opened the specialty high-end pen shop years ago on a dare from his mother. True story. And he'll tell you about it coming up next. The Quill and Nib, a staple of the historic Valley Junction, is in the Small Business Spotlight. Stay with us.